Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome everybody. You're listening live to Ask the Pastor with Gregory Dickow. Thanks for tuning in. You are my great special guest. I can't thank you enough for being a part of this program, and I'm just telling you, God has something for you, and I know that He's already got you on His mind. He already knows what you're going through. He already knows what you're experiencing. He already knows how He's going to get you through it. He knows what you're going through, and He knows how to get you through it. It's coming. Your breakthrough is coming. Your deliverance is coming. Get ready. It's Friday. We're live. It's Ask the Pastor, and I'm your host, Gregory Dickow. And because we're live today, and because it's Friday, I always want to invite all of our listeners and encourage and inspire all of our listeners to get in a good church this weekend. Get in a good church on Sunday. Get in a good church where you can grow, where you can hear God's word, where you can plug into a spiritual family and community. No one is an island. Everybody's called to be connected to others. The Bible says in Psalm 92, when you're planted in the house of the Lord, that's when you flourish. That's when you grow. We grow when we're planted. We bloom when we're planted. We bloom when we're plugged in to God's kingdom and plugged into God's people. So God gives gifts to men, pastors, evangelists, apostles, prophets, and teachers. God has placed the pastor as the gift in the church, the ministry gift in the church, for all Christians to benefit from. So I hope that you'll benefit from that this weekend in a church somewhere. If you don't have one, find one close to you or one that's far from you. Where the church alive is worth the drive. Even if you have to drive a little bit, it's worth it. Gas prices are down, and it's worth the drive anyway, even if they were up. So get plugged in somewhere where you can grow, where you can truly be fed God's word, be inspired by the Holy Spirit, and be encouraged by people around you. And if you don't have a church home, and you're in the Chicago area, come visit us at Life Changers Church, one of our locations. You can go to our website for more information. You can go to lifechangerschurch.com. That's lifechangerschurch.com. And you can find our locations, our times, and all that. You can find a lot about our church there. So, and if you're anywhere outside of the Chicago area, you can go to that website and join our live webcast community and our live webcast Sunday services at lifechangerschurch.com. Again, lifechangerschurch.com. All right, let's open up our phone lines. I was going to say let's open up our Bible, but let's open up our phone lines and our Bible, and let's get into these great questions from these great callers on Ask the Pastor with Gregory Dickow. Let's talk to Andrea in Alabama. Welcome, Andrea. Thanks for calling today.
Hi, Pastor. I'm Kay. I love God very much, and I have a very good heart. And I love everybody. Am I going to hell because I'm gay? I want to go to heaven when I die, but I can't help who my heart loves. Help me, please.
Sure. Yeah, I'd love to help you. You know, first of all, you know, our love for God and our love for people is not what sends us to hell. To heaven or to hell. Our love for God doesn't send us to heaven. Our lack of love for God doesn't send us to hell. Our lifestyle doesn't send us to heaven. So if we're heterosexual, we're not going to heaven because we're heterosexual. We're not going to hell because we're homosexual. So we have to establish first what gets us to heaven. So you said you're gay, but you love God and you love people and you want to go to heaven. You don't want to go to hell. Well, you wouldn't go to hell because you're gay. Now, whether being gay is genetic, whether being gay is a choice, whether being gay is a sin or a wrong behavior, that's another topic. and we can talk about that topic another time. But your question is, will you go to hell because you're gay? And the answer is, you don't. No one goes to hell because of their behavior. No one goes to hell because of their actions. No one goes to hell because of their sins. People go to hell because they've rejected Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. So no one gets to heaven because they've been holy. No one gets to heaven because they've been good. No one gets to heaven because they're heterosexual. People go to heaven because they've accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. So what gets us to heaven is accepting Jesus as our Savior and Lord. What sends us to hell is rejecting Jesus as our Savior and Lord. If you die without Jesus and without having accepted him as your Savior and Lord, according to the Bible, that's who goes to hell. And if you die having accepted Jesus Christ in your life as your Savior and Lord, whether you've accepted him a few moments before you died or whether you've accepted him years and decades before you died, you're going to heaven because of Jesus, not because of your lifestyle, not because of your sexual preference and your sexual identity. Might your sexual identity need some healing? Yes, probably so. Many people's sexual identity needs healing. But will that send you to hell because you're gay? No. Will it send you to heaven? Because, I mean, there are a lot of people that are heterosexual. Are they going to heaven because they're heterosexual? Does God say, will God say, oh, you were a heterosexual, come on into heaven? No. And in the same way that he won't say, oh, you were a heterosexual, so you're welcome into heaven. And, oh, you were a homosexual, so you have to go to hell. No, it's, did you receive the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, for the washing of your sins, including the sin of homosexuality, including the sin of lying, including the sin of, a lot of people are heterosexual and they're committing sexual sin all the time, whether it's through pornography or whether it's through adultery or whether it's through fornication or sex outside of marriage. That's just as much sin as anything else. But God washes it all away the moment we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. And if we sin after being saved, God still cleanses us, as it says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, from all unrighteousness. So, have you accepted Jesus Christ, Andrea, as your Savior and Lord? Do you believe that he died for your sins and rose from the dead?
Yes, I believe.
Well, that's what will get you to heaven. So you're not going to go to hell. Now, will your lifestyle choices cause complications? Will your lifestyle choices cause pain? Will your lifestyle choices cause difficulty? Will your lifestyle choices produce harvests? Yes, the seeds we sow produce the harvests that we reap. So if we sow seeds that are in agreement with God's word, we're going to get good harvests. If we sow seeds that are in disagreement with God's word, we're going to get bad harvests. So that's something to consider on that topic, because of the harvest that you'll get, not because of the hell or punishment that you'll get, because you don't get punished for what Jesus already took the punishment for on the cross. And that's the gospel. The gospel is that he saves us, not because of what we do, but because of what he did. I hope that really sets you free and makes sense to you. And heals you right where you're at and begins the healing process in your life. You're listening live, folks, to Ask the Pastor with Gregory Dickow. The number to call with your questions, 847-645-1355. 847-645-1355. And it's Friday, and it's Ask the Pastor. Let's go back to our phone lines and talk to Angie in Des Plaines. Angie, welcome to Ask the Pastor today.
Thanks for taking my call, Pastor. Quick question. 1 John 5:16 says, if anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will give him life. To those who commit sin that do not lead to death, there is a need to say that one should be for that. What sin is he referring to then?
The sin that leads to death?
I always thought there's no or little sin for God.
I'm sorry, say that. You keep breaking up. Say that again, that last part.
The last part was thought that there's no big or little sin. Sin is sin for God. What sin is he referring to when he says there's sin of death that I don't recommend that you pray for, in other words? What sin is he referring to?
Well, I will have to go back and study that passage of Scripture to really be able to give you a good answer. But I would say to start out with is that, first of all sin can be forgiven, all sin. But some sins bring just death and destruction. You know, like if you get angry, or if you, you know, cheated a little on your taxes, those are sins, and you should turn from those sins, and you if you have the power to stop doing those things, you should stop doing them or get the help you need to stop doing them. But those don't lead to death. Those sins don't produce an immediate harvest of death. Other things, if you're involved in drugs and if you're involved in crimes that have to do with taking other people's lives, those kinds of sins can lead to death. Now, having said that, every person should receive the blessing and the benefit of somebody praying for them. So rather than trying to figure out which sin you should pray for that person, pray that God touches them, pray that God reaches them, pray that God gives them the gift of repentance. And to give I'll have to look up that verse to give you a more intelligent answer to the specific meaning of that verse. But I would say in the meantime, don't try to figure out which sin is which. Instead, just pray for those that are hurting around you and pray for those that are suffering around you. You're listening live to Ask the Pastor with Gregory Dickow. Let's go back to our phone lines and talk to Carolyn in Richmond, Virginia. Carolyn, welcome to Ask the Pastor today.
Hi, Pastor.
Hi.
I just want to tell you, I'm a regular listener, regular caller. Thank you for helping with all the questions that you have with me. And I just recently got your season of restoration. And I want to tell you, this thing packs a wallop. My mom has been listening to it. I have been listening to it. And it has blessed our spirit so much. I mean, I have been at times shouting with joy and praising God in the kitchen, in the living room, in the family room, in the car, you know, while listening to the soothing, comforting, and inspirational words and learning more about how God is going to restore me.
Amen.
Because, yeah. It's
Amen.
Been wonderful.
That's so great
because,
to hear.
Yeah, a lot's been stolen from me in the past year. So this is just, it's not only inspirational, but very timely.
Yeah, it's really powerful. It's liberating, isn't it, to know that God is the God of restoration, and he doesn't need you to, he doesn't want you or need us to think that we're going to be stuck the rest of our lives and we're just going to be stolen from the rest of our lives. The Bible says if the thief is found, he has to repay sevenfold. We're not going to put up with the old thief, the devil, and we don't have to. The Bible says that we can submit to God, resist the devil, and the devil will flee. And the devil is the thief, and he's been stealing from us, and God says, I will restore. I love the verse in Joel 2:25 where he says, and I will restore the years. You know, that's the one thing that people don't believe they can get back. Well, you know, you might be able to get back some money, and you might be able to get back some health, but you'll never get back the time that you've lost. But the truth is, that's what people think, but the truth is, you can get back the time you've lost. God says, I will restore the years. That just shows the incredible dimension of God's power and the deep, rich, high dimension of God's ability to transcend natural laws, to transcend in the sense, you know, the natural course of time passing and us losing time, God can, in 1 second, he can fix what took years to destroy and took years of devastation, years of loss. God can restore them in a moment. God can restore those years in a second. How can he do that? Well, God is God, and he can miraculously add time to your life. Remember, Hezekiah who prayed in the Bible, and he said, God, God said, today your life is required of you, and he prayed, and he said, Lord, could you please have mercy on me and extend my life? And God said, I've heard your prayers, and I will extend your life 15 more years. He gave him 15 more years. He was going to die that day, and God gave him 15 more years. So God can make up to us the years that the enemy has stolen. So thanks for calling, Carolyn. Thanks for letting us know that teaching has blessed you, your season of restoration. It really is life-changing when you discover that God wants to restore whatever's been lost. You think about it. He found the lost. He tells us three parables in Luke chapter 15, or three stories. The woman who with the lost coin, and she found it. The man with the lost sheep, and he found it. And the man with the lost son, and he found him. So everything that was lost was restored because God's the God of restoration. All right, back we go to our phone lines, 847-645-1355. If you've got questions, we've got answers, and call me with your questions. I'm your host, Gregory Dick Owl. Let's talk to Sophia in Des Moines, Iowa. Welcome, Sophia. Thanks for calling today.
Hi, thank you. This is more of a question that I have for you that my kids have asked me from time to time, and I thought, you know, I'd really kind of like to know the answer to that. You know, God loved the devil before he fell, but does God hate the devil? Do we say that God hates the devil and that we are able to hate the devil and we hate sin? But how would you answer that?
Well, God doesn't have emotion in the Bible. From what I see, I don't see God having emotion of love and sympathy and compassion on angels. And the devil was an angel. He's a fallen angel. At one time, he was Lucifer. He was an angel in heaven, and he was cast out when he rebelled against God. God never loved the devil nor hated the devil because God loves people. God hates sin, but God loves people. He doesn't love angels. Angels are like his servants. Angels are, they just carry out their beings, they're angelic beings that simply carry out the orders of the king. They carry out the orders of heaven, but they're not made in God's image like we are. They're not children of God like we are. They're not sons and daughters of God like humans are. So God doesn't love or hate angels or demons. He loves people. His emotions are towards people. His positive emotions are towards people. His negative emotions are towards sin and towards what has destroyed and hurt people. So I hope that makes sense. It's a good question, and glad you called, Sophia, on Ask the Pastor with Gregory Dickow. Great to hear from you guys. You're listening once again to Ask the Pastor with Gregory Dickow. 847-645-1355 is the number, 847-645-1355. I want to encourage you today to get in a good church this weekend. I really believe that God's trying to get to somebody who's listening right now. Maybe you feel overwhelmed. Maybe you feel depressed. Maybe you feel like you just have nowhere to turn. And I want you to know there is an answer. There is a solution to every problem you might face. You see, every negative emotion that we experience in life stems from a sense of powerlessness. Every negative feeling, whether it's fear, you know, if you feel powerless to do anything about your past, then you're most likely going to experience guilt. If you feel powerless to do anything about your present, then you're going to experience depression. If you feel powerless to do anything about your future, then you're going to feel afraid. And so you see, all negative emotions come from this sense of powerlessness. But when you discover the power of God, when you discover the power of God's presence, when you discover the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God's Word, you lose your drive to be angry. You lose that feeling of powerlessness. You know, when we feel powerless to change somebody, when somebody's done something to us and we feel powerless to get them to change, then we get angry at them. We get mad at them. But you don't have to change people anymore. You don't have to feel powerless over your past because Jesus dealt with your past. You don't have to feel powerless over your present because he's with you in the present. And you don't have to feel powerless over your future because you can plant good seeds towards your future. We have power. God has given us power. He said, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. That's what you should be discovering in a good, healthy church. I want to encourage you, find a church that is going to teach you about the power of God that you have. That God has not given you fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And so everything that happens in that church should bring you power, love, or renew your mind. It should renew your mind. It should introduce you to the power of the Holy Spirit, or it should introduce you to the love of God in some way and how to love people in some way. And so get plugged into a church like that. You'll never be the same. In fact, let me invite you to join me this Sunday at Life Changers Church. Our service times can be found at lifechangerschurch.com. Our service locations, we have location at downtown Chicago. We have a location in our Hoffman Estates area. And we have a online location where you can go online from wherever you are in the world. And you can tune in and join our service that way as well. But come visit us. If you have children, come and let them experience the children's ministry, the love of God, the power of God. We've got youth ministry, so much more. You'll feel at home. Come check us out. Go to lifechangerschurch.com for more information. Lifechangerschurch.com. And would love to meet you and would love to pray for you. And we'd love to bless you. You know, my prayer over our church and over the people that come every day is, Lord, bless them indeed, enlarge their territory, let your hand be with them, and keep them from evil, deliver them from evil, and use them to bring healing, not pain. Man, that's our prayer. That was Jabez's prayer in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. That's our prayer today. Hey, come on out and visit us. For more information, you can go to lifechangerschurch.com. And we'll see you Sunday. God loves you. He's for you, not against you. And when you believe that, when you really believe that, everything's going to be all right. Don't miss tomorrow's broadcast or Monday's broadcast, and don't miss church this weekend. God bless.